Sunday school teacher had just concluded her lesson and wanting to make sure that she had made her point, she asked the question, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you obtain forgiveness from sin?" There was a short interval of silence, and then from the back of the room, a small boy spoke up. "Sin," he said. You know, it's funny how we think we must do something to merit or obtain or be worthy of what God gives to you and to me. To be saved, we can all tend to think we must work for it. And that's a tendency that Americans have. We got to do something to achieve salvation. We don't like anything that is free. And in fact, we can begin to think to receive God's forgiveness, we all can tend to think we must sin. The list can go on, and yet the fact is that God knew how desperate we all are and in need of what only He can provide and give to you and to me. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But friends, our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. We are all in need of forgiveness. Forgiveness which is from God. Forgiveness that we all do not deserve. Forgiveness that shows the heart of a Savior who yearns to provide you and me with those very elements of life that we need. It is very true that our deepest and greatest need was, and it is, and it always will be, forgiveness. Forgiveness is defined as God's free and gracious acceptance of sinners, decisively declared in Jesus' teaching, His ministry to sinners and His outcasts, and death for the salvation of the world. Forgiveness is free, it's scandalous, and it's very costly. Friends, forgiveness is free. It is scandalous, it is costly, and this is the forgiveness that Jesus offers to all people. We are told in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He, meaning Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive you and me of our sins. And He won't just stop there. He will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. All we have to do, friends, is to align our hearts, to align our minds, and align our desires with Jesus, and to admit to Him we have fallen short, and the promise we have from Christ will always be that He will forgive you and me. Forgiveness, we all need it. We all want to be forgiven. Forgiveness, we all desire it. Deep down inside, it's the yearning of our soul. It's the calling of the deep essence of our being, of what we need and what we yearn for and what we desire, but moreover, what we need. But forgiveness, we all can struggle with giving it. You see, there's our problem, and all of us must admit our need and accept the standard with which Jesus set forth, and namely that we will be forgiven if we show that same type of heart that Jesus showed, which is a forgiving heart. Listen to the words of Jesus, and in fact, we just read this in our scripture reading. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. And I'll just recall all of us that we just prayed this prayer. Every Sunday we pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and there's a little clause in there, and I will emphasize that for us here this morning. In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Did you hear it? Did you hear it right there? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then it goes on. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. We pray this, the Lord's Prayer, each week. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You see, friends, the translation doesn't matter. The message is clear. We are praying to the Lord and asking Him to hold us to the same standard that we hold others to. To put it more succinctly, if we withhold forgiveness from others, then we are asking God to withhold forgiveness from us. This is seriousness of our subject this morning. It's very serious. It's very vital that we understand the essence about forgiveness. Luke records Jesus in the following way in Luke 6, verse 37. He says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." You see, there again, Jesus' teaching is saying, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Friends, this is serious stuff. It's essential that we grasp the meaning and hear clearly God's message to you and to me today. It's a message about oneness. It's a message about growing together as the body of Christ. It's a message about life with one another. We're in the midst of a series going through this series, Life with One Another. Last week we talked about loving one another. This week we're going to speak about forgiving one another. Next week we're going to speak about encouraging one another. Last week we saw that when we truly love one another, as we should, we become a witness to the watching world. And I hope that the watching world will see you and me as individuals who are quick to forgive the offenses that happen to you and to me each and every day. You see, the Apostle Paul, he carried Jesus' message when he was dealing with the runaway slave and his master. Our text this morning will be found in the book of Colossians. And the Apostle Paul, just to give you a background here, he exhorted the slave's master to act accordingly as Jesus had dealt with him. Namely, Paul was encouraging forgiveness. In fact, in the first three chapters of the book of Colossians, the topic of forgiveness is mentioned in all three. As I mentioned, our text is found in that book of Colossians. And we must remember that this letter was going to be read aloud to the congregation that gathered in Philemon's house. Now, Philemon was the master of Onesimus, who was the slave, and Onesimus has ran away, which carried a penalty for the slave. Yet Onesimus had returned to Philemon. And the Apostle Paul, he seems to be exhorting Philemon to act fittingly with how Jesus would have him deal with Onesimus. It's as if you and I can hear the reader of Colossians say through these three chapters, God the Father has rescued you and me out of the dominion of darkness and transplanted you and I into the kingdom of His Son, of His love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And you who were dead through trespasses, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, enduring with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against anyone else, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. Do you also forgive? The message is clear for Philemon. He must forgive as he has received forgiveness from Christ. And friends, the message is clear for you and for me today. We must forgive one another as we have received the forgiveness from Christ. There are a zillion things in this world that will offend us. There are a zillion things in this world that will just catch us wrong, that we can be angry about, we can be upset about. And yet we are called to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Let's look at our text. I want to highlight only three verses from chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. And follow along as I read, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive even as Christ forgave you. So you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Verse 13 speaks to what is required of us all, you and me, and this is what is required, to bear with one another, to forgive one another if anyone has a complaint against another, and to forgive as Jesus has forgiven you and me. The Apostle Paul says we must also do. Friends, when I was thinking about this verse this past week, the qualifying phrase, even as Christ forgave you, it spoke to me and it really began to cause me to think, how has Jesus forgiven you and how has he forgiven me? We can ask that question, how did Jesus forgive you and me? He forgave you and me out of his love, and that's the first thing that we need to grasp. We're told in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, friends, forgiveness is an expression of love. Sometimes I think that we have to conjure up all of this forgiveness out of ourselves, and it is not that. Forgiveness is an expression of our love, of those that we love, those that we care about. Forgiveness for those in the world, it should be that expression of God's love. We can look at Romans, and it tells us that through the Holy Spirit, God has poured his love into your hearts and mine. And friends, that's how we begin to pour it out to the world who is in desperate need of being forgiven. Forgiveness from you, from me, to others is an expression of love. This love moved God through Jesus to grant you and me forgiveness. It's an act of grace. It's given free for the offender. But forgiveness is costly for the forgiver. It's important we recognize the source of forgiveness as being love. And that's why the following quote you probably have heard. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. You see, we're told in 1 John that God is love. And so to forgive is of God. To forgive is from God. And friends, you and I will never be more like Jesus than when we choose to forgive. When we choose to not hold on to those wrongs, on not hold on to those offenses, but when we choose to release them from being held captive in our heart. We will never be more like Jesus than when we take the opportunity to forgive someone who does not deserve it or even ask for it. But friends, I challenge you this morning to not let unforgiveness settle in your heart, to be quick to wrestle with your thoughts, to be quick to wrestle with your hurts. Seek the Lord and allow him to heal your damaged emotions, to ask the Lord to change your heart so you can offer the same free, gracious gift that you have received from Jesus, and that is the gift of forgiveness. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I'm going to close here shortly. You might be here this morning in need of forgiveness from Christ. You might be here this morning in need of forgiveness from someone else. I'm just going to give you a real quick prescription. If you're in need of Jesus' forgiveness from the mistakes and the sins and the faults and the flaws and the failures of your life, then I challenge you this morning to approach Jesus in prayer, admitting your failures, admitting your flaws, admitting your faults, admitting your sin, your mistakes, and ask him to forgive you, and then to thank Jesus for forgiving you. Because friends, we are told if we confess our faults, our sins to Christ, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins. If you're here this morning in need of forgiveness from someone else, then you or I need to go to that person. We need to ask them for their forgiveness. We need to express our sorrow over what happened or what we did. And if they fail to hear you, then you are free. You've done everything you can do. But the upside is this. If they hear you and they receive you and they forgive you, then you, my friends, have been reconciled. The blessing is to be reconciled. And friends, forgiveness is costly. It can cost us our pride. It can cost us our time. It can cost us what we want to hang on to. But it is free. and forgiveness must be rooted in love as an expression of the love of God, the love of Christ. And may you and may I all strive to be the kind of people who exemplify showing forgiveness as Jesus showed it for you and for me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your forgiveness in Christ and in Christ alone. We thank you for this free gift, for we understand that we did nothing to deserve it. We understand that there was nothing in of us that caused you to say, yep, you're good enough, I forgive you. Father, may we hold ourselves to the same standard that you set forth to freely forgive. Even as you were being crucified, Jesus, you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And oh, Christ, our Lord, our Savior, help us to forgive. Help us to forgive those who have hurt, those who have offended, those who have caused us pain. Help us to forgive as you forgive, Jesus, out of a pure love for those who have offended. Grant us your love, we pray, and may we express it in the acts of forgiveness. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. As we close this time of worship here this morning, if you would, please take your hymnal and turn in the hymnal to hymn 1 as we sing The Bond of Love. Now may the God who loves you and keeps you, may he bless you with his peace and fill your soul with his forgiving nature. May you experience his presence each and every day of this coming week, and may you and I depart in peace. In the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.